Can we just welcome all of our new people today? You guys are all over the place out here. And it's just a wonder. You've picked a great day to come because Jesus is in the house, okay? He always is. And it's also a wonderful time because this is our 7th anniversary. Tabitha mentioned that in the video. Today marks 7 years ago that we started Discovery Church. And could I just get all my originals? Would you just stand where you are? If you're an original, if you were there that first Sunday, come on, some of them are not in here, they're serving. There they are right there. Come on, thank you guys so much. Love you guys, man. You guys, these are the people who stick through it like thick and thin, okay? They're always there, and it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We could have dreamed. We dreamed a lot. But when we started, we had nothing. We had no place to meet. We had no bank account. We had no money. I didn't even know about taking up tithes and all those things. I mean, I knew we did that in like traditional church, but we had left traditional church and really didn't know kind of what we were going to do next. And we had some things in mind and some ideas. And what you're about to be presented today is basically our vision for our church. If you've been through Impact, you're going to hear step one today, pretty much, a little bit of step one today. And step one, Tabitha mentioned it, is today in Impact. It's at 5 o'clock. And if you're new with us and you've never been through Impact, you need to be here today at 5. And just really learn today. You'll learn, she said very shortly in the video, you'll learn all about our church. And it's really what step one is about. It's about who we are, what our vision is. And so I want to get to that in just a moment in the message. But before I do, I just want to welcome some new people, man, some new people in the Lord. And this past week, after receiving Christ, and they became to faith and believed, Michael, sitting right in here in front center, man, front and center, dude. He was buried with Christ in baptism, as chapter 6 of Romans talks about. So he was baptized, and he was getting out of the water, and as oftentimes I do, I just say, hey, I'm in the water, it's ready. Is anybody else that needs to be baptized that's here? And was it Enoch or Toviah that raised their hand? I can't remember which one. It was, okay, all right, Enoch. Enoch raised his hand, he said, I'm ready to go. And just a few minutes later, Micah baptized his twins. They're sitting right up here, Enoch and Toviah. Sporting their unashamed t-shirts, man. I'm so glad for that. And listen, that's a public profession of what happens on the inside of us. And it's a beautiful, amazing thing. The Holy Spirit comes, and there's all kinds of things that happen around that ceremony. And it's a wonderful time. So I just want to I'm just glad you guys have taken that step. And I told Michael, I said, man, the water's not warm. That baptistry doesn't heat itself. So I said, well, he said, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I'm ready to do this, man. I want to do this right now. And to see that happen in these young people, man, it's just such a wonderful thing. Emily, we didn't get the QR code, did we? Okay, we'll get it. We'll get it next week. All right, so skip that. I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we both like, man, we had freedom this weekend. Come on, where are my freedom people? It's amazing when you have a Freedom Conference weekend how much everything else just goes, what am I here? Where am I? I don't even know where I am. I don't know what's going on. It's like this whirlwind. And so we had 19 beautiful people come through our Freedom Conference this time. And if you're not familiar with what that is, stick around. Just ask a few people till you find somebody. They can tell you what freedom is all about. And it's awesome. By the way, I won't ask you to stand, but would you raise your hand if you went through Freedom this time from our church? There was a few in here. There's a few right there. Awesome. Awesome. It's great, man, to have you guys. Hey, let's give them a hand. That's right. It's awesome. And one more little bit of business before I get into preaching, and that is next Sunday I'm going to begin a brand new series called The Supremacy of Christ. Supremacy of Christ. God's put some things on my heart about kingdom and who we're supposed to be as the kingdom. And the book of Colossians is what we're going to use as our study for the next few weeks. I'm excited about it. Someone said it's Paul's simplest book of the Bible. It's what he wrote. A lot of stuff Paul wrote is like Peter said. It's really kind of hard to get. The book of Colossians, man, is just so straightforward about who Jesus is. And what I just look forward. I ain't going to preach that yet. I'll get there next week. But y'all come back and be a part of that. So, man, I'm just so glad. Hey, we ain't welcome to our online church. Hey, online church. What's up, brother, over in Georgia? Glad you're here, man. He's here today. And listening in, and so many others who couldn't be here today online. 7 years, man. I said that to somebody this morning that says seven's a good number. That's a good number year, isn't it? I don't know really why. I mean, it's just in the Bible, it's the perfected number. But it's just great to be able to see the growth and the things that have happened, not just in number. Yes, their numbers are more and all of those things. But it's, there's a whole book of the Bible on numbers, and I'm good with numbers, and I'm all about that. And that's fun to count. But to watch the growth in spirit and leadership and people taking the bull by the horns, people who were not doing anything in church at all, just really moving forward and growing, and it's just an awesome thing to see. And so every year on this anniversary, I preach the same message that I preached that day, not because I can't prepare a new message, but I do it on purpose. And the why behind it is this. This year, our word for this year especially, but every year, is unify. And I want to tell you, the larger we become, the more centered and unified we're going to have to be. In fact, someone said the larger we become, the smaller we have to be at the same time. Because some of you guys have come to our church and you've said, man, I was part of a mega church and I just felt like I got lost and I really didn't feel like I knew anybody and it just got so many people and so on. Well, let me tell you something. The church is about multiplication, okay? I know some of you think it's division, but it's really not supposed to be that. It's addition and multiplication and bringing people in and so on. And so when we started Discovery Church, we had some things in mind. And three things, basically, that we're trying to reach, three kinds of people that we wanted to reach. First of all, we wanted to obviously reach people who don't know who Jesus is. And not only reach people who don't know who Jesus is, but reach people who really wouldn't ever in their lifetime set foot in a church building. We really wanted to try, and we have, we've reached some of those people, but we really still want to go further with that and try to find people who really don't know who Jesus is. And you think, well, that's not possible in the buckle of the Bible belt, but it very much is. Very much is. Sometimes they're in churches. And they really don't know who Jesus is. And if you know what I'm talking about, right? And then also those who've been hurt by church, those who've been pushed out by church. And that was some of us. That was some of us at that very time. And if I ask you to raise your hand and see who's been church hurt before, probably everybody in this room could say yes to that at some level, okay? And there's all kinds of facets to that, Jim, okay? I mean, you could talk about, well, maybe it's your fault that you're hurt, or maybe it was their fault that you're hurt. You could talk about all kinds of reasons why, but people oftentimes get hurt through religion, and that's really the problem. That's really the problem, and that's why people get hurt in churches. And then the third kind of person we wanted to reach was really what I call the disenfranchised, people who've been left behind, people who just get overlooked. And what I love about our leadership is I really believe that so many in our leadership through the years have been people who in other churches would never have been looked at as a leader. And I want to tell you something. There's something that is, I don't want to use the word addictive. That's not a good word, but it's something like that. There's something attractive about going to a place where you hear about life all the time instead of death all the time. Where you hear about what is your potential. Greg mentioned that in Freedom Conference. This idea of what is your potential and what is it that people see in you that you can be. Not based on your past or any of that stuff. And because every one of us have had a past, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. I just always wanted to lead a church where we felt like there was more than just church. That church was for other people and not ourselves. It doesn't exist for us. We don't exist for Keith, and we don't do things the way Keith wants to do things. We're trying to do things in a way to let people who don't know who Jesus is feel comfortable enough to come and be a part of something that they can grow in and have a vibrant, real relationship with Him. You're not going to leave the world you're in until you're dead. And for so long, church has become this little convenient place where we get in our little comfortable boxes and we just love Jesus for a little while. And when we leave here, we go right back out into the world that we really don't want to be a part of anyway. Maybe it's your work or your family, your friends or school or whatever it is. And we just kind of live life until we come back to our safety of our little box. So these walls have to go away, figuratively speaking. We have to tear down the walls and be able to show people that they can have freedom in Christ. God, help us to be self-sufficient. less. It's not about me. That's why we say we exist for the empty seat. We got a lot of full seats in here today, but we've got a few empty seats as well, and we exist for that. And by the way, we will always inconvenience ourselves to keep empty seats. So when we keep having crowds like we are right now, and we have been for a while, then before too long, we're going to split it into two services. And somebody said, well, I don't want to. I like the service I'm in. Everybody gets inconvenienced. Why? So we can empty more seats, so we can bring more people in to know who Jesus is. That's the purpose and the whole thing of it. It's not so that Discovery can become a big church, or we can protect our brand, or we can protect who we are, or whatever. It's not about who we are. It's about who Jesus is in our life. And so everywhere we go, we need to be thinking that way for other people. And so if you're looking for a church that meets your needs, that makes sure that you are fed the way you want to be fed, and is about what you want in a church, you've probably not found the right place. Because before too long, we're going to do something, because we're human, that you're either going to dislike or not like as much as you used to like it. And when that happens, are we going to be willing to change and mold and do whatever we have to do? Craig Groeschel says we'll do anything short of sin to find somebody for Jesus. And that's really what I feel. I really feel that at all. So it's not gimmicky. It's not trickery. It's simply fishing. Fishing. I had a guy one time complain. It's a dark room and it's lights, and we're just, if you just served a beer every now and then, you would just be like a club, right? and listen, all of this stuff has a purpose. All of this stuff has a reason and a focus behind it. And it's really about us creating an atmosphere where people who are in the world can come in and feel a little more comfortable about learning who Jesus is. Have I said that enough, huh? Maybe I've said that enough. I hope. Hope you get what I'm talking about. And so what we use as kind of our theme verse for our church is Ephesians chapter 5, 17 to 19. Those are in your sermon notes. When you come in this morning, you received a worship guide with some sermon notes in there. And we're going to walk through some of those things and fill in some blanks. And a lot of this is going to be very familiar to you if you've been around here for a little while. And for some of you who haven't, then you're going to get like a crash course in who we are as a church and why we exist. Paul said, I keep asking that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, I'm sorry, let me read that again. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Everybody say wisdom and revelation. In order to make it through this life, we have to have both of those things. If you want to get, I'm listening to the Proverbs right now. And that's my daily devotional listen to and read from Scripture. The Proverbs teach all about what wisdom is and how to have wisdom. It's spiritual insight from the source, and that is Holy Spirit. And then we have revelation, and the word revelation just simply means to uncover something. It's a very simple word. It comes from apocalypse, which is what we apokalypsis is the Greek word. And we hear apocalypse, and we think end times and, you know, buildings falling and earthquakes and all those things. And the word apocalypse just means to take the cover off. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. It's about revealing who Jesus is. It's not so much about what the end times are about. It's about who's the overcomer. It's the person who hangs out with Jesus. That's what Revelation. If you want to know the book of Revelation in a nutshell, that's it. Jesus is the center of it. And what Paul wants us to do in our life is to understand he wants to uncover things, especially in the realm of knowing who God is. And so much of our life, we've grown up in church and learned about what church is. I learned a lot about God growing up, but I didn't know if I had a relationship with him, if I knew him. And you cannot make it in this world in your natural state very long. Some of us have tried to live it, right? And we've abused everything in the world and tried out everything in the world to try to fulfill. And some of you still trying it. You still think, well, I'm going to give up this and this and this, but I'm not going to give up that. I'm worried about giving up whatever that is for you. And those are the things that God is saying, look, in order to follow me, you're going to have to give that up as well. It has to surrender. Everything has to surrender to Christ. Come on, y'all. That's better than we all reacted. Everything. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe this is too hard to realize that knowing God creates a situation where I don't get to choose for my own life what I want. I get to choose for my life what he wants. And we want to help you be able to find that. So what I do every year is I remind our church of the four foundations that we stand on. You hear it a lot around here. Someone said, I said it to our huddle group this morning, once you've communicated something, you think you've communicated it enough, you got to say it one more time. Because communication, vision leaks. Vision leaks. And it's one of those things that we have to keep pouring in as it drips out because it just happens. The filter that we run everything through are these four things. And the first one is this. We want you and me and all of us to settle our relationship with God. You need to settle the fact that you need a solid relationship with God. Paul says in Ephesians 1:17, so that you may know him better. I think the message paraphrase says personally. There's a knowledge base here that's deeper than just knowing, as I said earlier, about God. The word for know here, it denotes exact or full knowledge, discernment, and recognition of. It expresses, and this is kind of, I'm going to read this sentence and I'm going to explain it. It is expressing a fuller or full knowledge and a greater participation by the power in the object known. Who's the power we're trying to know? That's an easy question to answer. God. We're trying to know God. And what it is, it's like God is participating with us to help him be known by us. By us. In other words, God participates in our knowing of him. And he does it through his word. He does it through circumstances. He does it in so many ways. And sometimes we just don't see it. But he wants us to know who he is. You want your children to know you, right? Not just know about you. If they introduce you and they say, this is my dad, here's some things about him. I don't really know him, but here's some stuff about him. That'd be really weird, right? And so God wants us to know him in that way. And ultimately, God wants us to know him intimately. Oh, I just said that. That was typed out. Ultimately, he wants us to know him intimately. That was totally unlike, I didn't even try that, and it was so good. The puns just roll. It does. God wants to know you intimately. He wants closeness. And God's not afraid of your blemishes, so don't worry about bringing those to him because he already knows them anyway. So many times we don't want to get close to people because we're afraid somebody might know who we really are. That's what freedom was all about, is being able to just pour it out and say, look, this is who I am, and I'm tired of dealing with it. I want God to take it. And when you confess that, oh, man, I'm getting ahead of myself. Primarily, we do this relationship with God thing through what we do here on Sunday mornings. We focus everything toward our Father, the music, the words, the relationships, the children's ministry, all of it is focused on transforming people. Y'all, worship changes our life. And you could come in here in the morning and you could be like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. And we sing Holy Forever together. Or we sing, the graves in the gardens, anything that we sing and we praise and we honor. Or you can see somebody and they look you in the eye and say good morning. They welcome you and you feel that. That's all considered, in my mind, acts of worship. It's all about coming together and knowing him more deeply. God wants us transformed. This is not a game. I said this to Freedom Group the other night. It's not a game. God wants us different today than we were yesterday for him. And worship can bring that about if you will allow that. It's meant to celebrate and to inform, yes, but we are to transform ourselves in worship. Number two, we want you to find a relationship with God, number one. Number two, we want you to find freedom from your past. Freedom from your past. You will not see clear a vision for your future until you deal with whatever you've had to deal with from your past. You got to get it out. Paul says it this way in the text. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And that little phrase there is focused and clear. A couple of years ago, I started seeing these weird, blurry things in my vision. And it was just strange. I didn't really know what it was. And I thought, man, I'm way too young for cataracts or problems like that, surely. And actually, I'm not. But it was a joke. But anyway. So I started seeing these weird, I have floaters anyway. Years ago, I had a motorcycle wreck, and since then, I've had these little floaters. And every now and then, a bug will run across the floor. There's not really a bug there, you know? I don't know if anybody experienced floaters? Come on, y'all. We're my floater people. I love you guys, man. Isn't it weird? And sometimes you can say, did you see that? And they, no. Just don't say that too much. It'll carry you away. But anyway. But cataracts began to form, and I started seeing this. It's like this haze was over everything. And y'all, cataract surgery was actually pretty cool. It was weird, but it was cool. I was nervous. I was very nervous about it, but I literally saw, they told me I wasn't going to be asleep, and I thought, wait a minute, you're going to cut in my eye, and I'm going to watch it happen. And he said, well, you're not going to care. And the medicine they gave you, you didn't care. I mean, he could have cut my left arm off, and I wouldn't. And I'm like, okay, that's whatever, you know. But I did. I was open. I followed every command. And y'all remember when he slid the lens into my eyeball. Some of you are getting grossed out right now. But I say he slid, and you could see it go across your eyes. I was like, oh, he just put me a new lens in. It was crazy. And you come out of that thing, and it's weird because colors are vibrant again. You know, so I'm not wearing glasses all the time. I can see my sermon without glasses. It's a 22 font. Yes, it is. I promise you, it really is. I do that because I'm that much vain, right? I can wear my glasses and put them on and take them off, but I print that in 22 font. But I can read that screen, and I can see you guys, and everything becomes clearer because what was there got removed. And it got replaced with something that was completely clear. And it's exactly what we're trying to get you to understand. We want you to do to get freedom from your past. So many of us are so scared to take a step forward for God because we've either been burnt in the past or we've been hurt in the past or we did it before and nothing happened, nothing changed, there was no transformation. Those people weren't really who they said they were. And by the way, can I just go ahead and say, church people will always be people. We put our britches on just like you do. One leg at a time. Now, some of you can go, I don't know, but not when you get my age. You can't do that. Yeah, I'm fixing to have to get some help tying my shoes if I don't get in better shape. But for real, we're just people. And some of you guys, some of you here this morning have expressed to me you're looking for church, and I appreciate that. And I always say this to people when I say we're looking for church. I say, you found one. You found it. You don't have to go any further than right here at Discovery Church. And as soon as I say that, I know for all the good things that we are, somebody's going to say something to mess you up in a few weeks. You're going to, huh? We're non-denominational church. We started out when 7 years ago today, we were about half Baptist, half Church of Christ with a smattering of Pentecostals. Yeah, it was messed up. It was like, some of them were ready to, you know, speak in tongues, and some of them were like, whoa, 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 we're not going to do that. We're not going there. There were questions. Are we still going to baptize people? I remember that question was asked in our opening. Are we still going to baptize people? I said, well, the Lord, it's out there in the Word. We're always going to baptize people. But then the other questions start happening. Oh, you get, we got all these people here today. I'm learning so much from y'all. You don't have... I am not a pastor who's got it all figured out. I'm just a dude that's trying to learn more and grow more and grow more and grow more and grow more. And I'm having more fun at doing it than I ever have in my lifetime. There's a freedom in being able to say that we don't have our act together. We are not perfected. And we won't be till we see Jesus one day. We're perfected in Christ. We're justified. We're free and we're saved and all those things. But guys, this morning in huddle, we felt it, didn't we, Chelsea? It was like we were talking and it just felt like everybody was all scattered everywhere. And like, I tried it. I got grabbed the mic. I was like, give me that mic. I'm going to try to fix this. And I said, boom, 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 boom. And there's a little bit of confusion and a little bit of stuff. And the bigger we get, the more we're going to have. We're learning. We're growing. Somebody said, we're growing and we're learning. And yes, it's messy. And that's why I want to get the mess of my life out of it. Christine Kane said, we cannot go where we're going without leaving where we have been. I love that. And by the way, I love to hear her preach. She's incredible. She's from Australia, so she's got a great accent. But anyway. And as a church, we try to do this with our small groups. We're about to start a brand new semester of small groups. It's a short semester. It's just June and July. And it's our summer semester. And for about 8 weeks, we're going to get in groups, and we're going to share, and we're going to love, and we're going to grow, and we're going to continue doing that. We just came out of a semester, and we're about to start another one. We get through that after prayer, after our prayer time in August. We're going to start back in September and do another semester. We're going to keep doing that. Why? Because it's in small groups where we find closeness and unity. It's a place where the Bible says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. When you get in a group, and by the way, some of you haven't taken advantage of this. You haven't gotten in a group yet. You haven't taken advantage of being a small group. So I don't have time. I get it. They're not offered at the same time, and they're all over the place, and we've got several groups and different meeting in different places and different times and all that, trying to accommodate for people to be able to go. But listen, you need to be with people. You have to be with people. If you're trying to do church or religion or spirituality, and I don't need church, I don't have to. I grew up thinking I didn't need church because it didn't communicate to me. There was no connectivity for me, and I felt like I didn't need that. But what I was talking to was religion, not church. Real church is community, and it's fun, and it's crazy, and it's exciting, and it's scary. It's challenging. We went through a brand new thing. Mike and Casey took us through this time, this last time, called Alpha. And there were moments when we were in a group, and we were sitting around a table, and people were disagreeing with each other, and we were doing it in the spirit of Christ, and, man, we all left loving each other. That's growing, man. We're growing and growing and growing and growing. And when that starts to happen in your life, things change for the better. And as we build closer relationships, confession becomes easier. You say, well, small group is just about confession. No, not really, but they are. The point is to get to that point where you can share your stuff with other people. You don't have to tell me. And you may not have to tell your small group, but you need to be telling somebody what's going on. Because if, bless you, because if you don't, you will spiritually explode. You will disintegrate. You would disintegrate. I'm reading all through the Bible again, and it's so much fun to see how God put us together as people. He said, I didn't save you as a person. I saved you as my people. He wants people. And he loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. Get in a group. Get free from your past. So if you have a relationship with God and you're free from your past, you're ready to discover who you are. You're ready. You've got all of that cleaned out. Jesus is center of your life. You've discovered some things, and you've given some forgiveness, and you've confessed some things, and you've got some things out, and you're ready now to be able to find who you are in purpose. And it's really your why. It's discover your purpose. That's the next point. So the scripture says here, so that you can see, by the way, in your notes, this says Ephesians 5:19. That is a misprint. It's actually, that's my fault. I sent that to Ken, I didn't proof that all the way through real good, but it's Ephesians 1:19. And so he says, so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. If you get the cataracts out spiritually, then you can begin to see clearly where God wants you to be and where he wants you to go. And let me just say, God's will for all of us is the same in some ways. We are all meant to bear fruit. We're all meant to tell other people about Jesus. We're all meant to do certain things. But when he put us in a body of people, and a body of people, scripture says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. It's the most dangerous place for a lot of you, because you begin to compare, well, why don't I have that gift? Or why can't I do that? The center of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, you're going to be shocked by this. The real purpose of 12, 13, and 14 in 1 Corinthians is not spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is simply an illustration for God telling us, I want you to be one under the same Spirit who gives all the gifts. It's really a passage about unity. And there's probably more arguments with churches out of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 over stuff that God doesn't really care about. He'd much rather us be together trying to figure these things out and move forward. Listen, the point he's trying to make is, what I'm trying to make is you operate best in the gift in which God has given you. And what you do best, I don't do. And what I do best, you may not do. And we may find people with common gifts that do all that very well together. That's why you have children's ministry team. People who are gifted to deal with children. That's not me. I love children, and for a few minutes, I can handle them. It would be prior to me being arrested, probably, and taking care of children that would happen to me. I don't do well with disobedience without punishment, and I don't know how y'all do it. They call it in the psycho circles now redirection. Little Johnny's into what he don't need to be into, so let me redirect him into something he needs to be into. My mama believed in that. She redirected me lots of times. I won't even tell you how, but she did. She did, and she spoke very clearly. Look, people are gifted to do that. That's why people are gifted to be administrators. And they look at spreadsheets and they go, oh, it's a spreadsheet. when I'm over here puking. It's a spreadsheet. I don't want a spreadsheet. I don't deal with those things. I went to Bible school to get out of Numbers. All I needed was chapter 4, verse 5. That's all. I could figure that out. As long as I didn't have to add them up, I'm good. And so I get to do this and sing and do those things. That's why we have a team up here. That's why we have teams that do serve, that we have teams that don't do any of those other things that serve well. And we have on and on and on. I could go with this. I'm trying to get you to understand that inside of you, I believe this is the part where my church growing up failed a lot of people. We were good at getting them saved. We were good at getting them baptized. We were good at getting them in the church. But when we got them in the church, it was like, here's a list of things. Go do what you do. I remember the first time I ever mentioned to my sweet, loving, awesome, conservative mom that we were going to have worship rehearsal. She said, you're going to rehearse for worship? What does that even mean? And she didn't know it, but that, her church has a praise team, and they get together and rehearse and practice what they lead. And so my point is that all of us are gifted in these ways to be able to move forward and to move the kingdom forward. And I want you to discover your purpose. And by the way, you can do that starting today, step one of impact. Come at 5 o'clock. This sermon's not about a commercial, but I want to tell you that. Please go back there today and sign up. Show back up here at 5 o'clock. Todd and the team is going to lead you through that. I have a medical procedure tomorrow that I have to prep for today. Anyway, so enough said about that. And so you're gifted. Do you really believe that? What I would love to do right now, because it's our 7th anniversary, I'm not going to because it would embarrass some people, is I would love to start a parade of people coming up on this stage on this side who didn't believe they could ever lead anything. And somebody looked them in the eye and said, you know what? I think you're a leader. You know what? I think you could do this. I think you'd be really good on this team. Really? Me? Not me? No, me? And I can't tell you how many times people try to talk me out of that and then just take a step. I wish I could. We need to have that sometime, some video testimonies or something. Have some testimonies of people saying, this is what I used to be. Someone spoke life into me, and this is who I am now. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? We need to have a night like that. That'd be good. I want you to discover your purpose so that you can do the last thing, and that is to make an impact. Make an impact. If you haven't settled your relationship with God, that's where you need to start. All these other things I've talked about really don't mean a lot if you don't know Jesus. You kind of do have to be a Christian to walk in faith in Christ and be a disciple of His, okay? So you need to do that. Step yourself into faith. And then once you've settled that, get with us. Get in a group. Find a way. Find a time. Get in a group. Settle some things in your past. And even if you don't do it in a small group, let me just encourage you to get with somebody. Come see me. We'll meet and talk. We'll do whatever we have to do to be able to help you release some of the things from your past. Discover your purpose. By the way, one of the things we do in our impact step three, or two process, step two, is we take you through a personality profile and a spiritual gifts assessment. That's always my most fun week of that, because when people go through that, they get surprised. They say, I didn't know I was a pastor shepherd. I had no idea that I had this gift. I had no idea that gift, whatever. Or sometimes they'll say, I knew it. I knew exactly what I'd be. And right there it is. I knew it. And I love to walk people through that. And what's really fun is the personality profile, where you learn who you are, whether you're a dominant person or an influencer, or whether you're just a steady person or compliant, whatever it is that you do. And to watch people walk through that, to watch couples go through and the wife look at the husband and go, see, I told you that's what you were. I've been trying to tell you this for years. And he finally can see that and begin working in his giftings. And the point of this whole thing is to make an impact on the world. Jesus sent the disciples out to do something, and that was to change the world for him. See, discovering your gifts is only part of the equation. You have to take that gift and then use that gift to make an impact. Paul says it this way, that you may grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for his followers in his holy people. There is a connection of what God wants us to do and people. People. Just people. Now, I am naturally extroverted. I don't know why I was given. Not all pastors are, by the way. But I am a very extroverted person. I don't meet a stranger. In fact, sometimes I make strangers uncomfortable because I'm just so like, hey, what's going on? You know, I don't know you, man. Get out of my face. Especially if I meet a one of those introverted people, like many of you are, and we need introverts to really balance out people like me. I was in the parking lot Friday night. I was getting out of my car, walking across the parking lot, and these two young ladies got out of their car, and they were walking toward Advanced. I didn't know them. They didn't know me, and I just said, hey, how you doing? And they said, we're good. We're good. One of the girls said, she said, it's fixing to hail, so we're trying to get, you know, back home before the storms come. Sorry to say snow. Please, no more snow. The hail comes. I said, I didn't know it was going to hail. I said, really? And you could see the clouds coming. I knew there were storms around. And we talked about that for a minute. And, y'all, I don't know what it was. Well, I do know what it was. It was God's Spirit telling me, I believe, that, and I'm very careful about saying that, by the way. I don't just throw that out there. But I felt this strange, this hard nudge pushing me in to carry this conversation a little deeper. And I just said, so where are you guys from? And one little girl, she said, I'm from Fayette, Alabama. The other little girl said, I'm from here. And they were friends. And a long, long, long story short, before that conversation was up, I just said, do you mind? They had a circumstance that they were trying to get fixed and so on. And I just said, you mind if I pray over that? I said, would it offend you guys? Isn't it sad in our culture we have to ask people, would it offend them for them to pray for them? But I wanted to be respectful. And I said, would you mind if I prayed? Is it okay? And she was like, yeah, I guess. And so I prayed over that situation, and I just felt like God had put us together for something. And anyway, long story short, we wound up helping these two young ladies get some answers for their questions. And I still don't know what the results of all of that is. Caleb walks up, man, and he had some answers for them, and they couldn't believe it. And when we got through, I looked at one of the girls and I said, see what God just did? I said, I didn't do any of this. You didn't do anything. They weren't asking me for help. I wasn't looking for somebody to help. But God put us together. In that moment, I found out I can make an impact on these people. Now, whether or not their truck gets fixed, or whether or not they get where they need to go, or whether or not they get to do what they get to do, whatever it is, in that moment, God used me to make an impact on their life. In that moment, God used Caleb to make an impact on their life. In that moment, he even used the guy working at Advance, because he walked in and one of the girls actually knew him, and they carried on a conversation, and they just got more. What started out as a tense moment for them that was going to cost them money wound up being a moment where they found people who loved them enough to step into their lives to make a difference. And that's what church is. That's what being kingdom is. That's what being a disciple of Christ is. It's being kind and loving people and being willing to take one step into their life to be able to make a difference. And if we can start doing that more and more and more, guys, I'm telling you, God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And he says, use them well to serve one another. You're not given a gift so you can show off your drum prowess. You're not given a gift of teaching so you can get in people's face and show them how good a teacher you are. It's never about you. It's never about me. And y'all, for so long, I thought I was such a good communicator and a good salesman. I could tell anybody anything and they would just accept it and move forward with it. And that's not even the right attitude to have with the gift that you have. And so, just, I just want to encourage you with this. And what I want to do as I end this message is this. I want to read the last page. This is verbatim what I said to the church the first day we met. By the way, we met in a room at the health department in the back. There was a back room. One of the ladies was a nurse at the time. And Tammy, you still work there, right? You still work at that same place. And she and Tammy worked there. And so we met in this little room. There was 58 of us. And somebody said, what are we going to do with our tithes? I said, man, I ain't taking no money. What are we going to do with money? I don't even know what we're going to do with it. And we were so, like, new and fresh. And I look back on that day and just go, wow, look what God's done. And here's what I said to the church at the end of that service. I said, it is my prayer that we can all come together for a unified effort to see as many people who don't know Jesus or who have left him or who need strengthening, there's those three people, are taken care of. We do not have all the answers. And for many of us in that meeting, I said I was going to read that. I can't help it. for many of us in that meeting to say that we do not have all the answers. For at least half of us, that was a very hard thing to say, because we thought we had all the answers. But we knew somehow there had to be more. Have you ever looked at your religious life and thought, man, there's got to be more than this? Some of you have family members who don't love Jesus and don't love God, and they've quit following God. And I think part of the reason is because they've lost sight that there's more than what they've seen of it than really is. And I think it's this impact part of it. We're not perfect people. We are simply people who are in need of the Lord as much as anyone, and we have lots of work to do. And I ended with this text. God has invited us into a partnership with Him. He says, God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says. And He says, I'm sorry, and He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's one of the big reasons we don't use the word member. You don't become a member of the church. Now, it's okay if you use that word. It's not, you're not going to be lost for it or anything like that. But we changed the meaning because, and I say this in step one impact video. Maybe I've made too much of this, but I don't think I have. Is that when you become a member of something, it's like you pay your dues. That's your tithe, right? You pay your dues so you can participate in the benefits of the club. Can I tell you something I don't ever want this to become? Is a place where you put your money in and that gives you clout to have say, so that you could come together on Sundays and get a great worship team to play great music and get some kind of feeling in your heart so that you can go away from here feeling good about who you are, and then you can invite somebody else to become part of the club so they can pay their dues to come in and get a good feeling, maybe some good child care for an hour, and you get a little time off from your kids and all those things. Every bit of that is saying it's about me. When we say stuff like that, the church that meets my needs, that's the phrase. We want to meet everybody's needs that we can. We really do. But I don't think that's the right spirit. Someone said this to me years ago, and I'll hush after this maybe. They said, I want to go where God is doing something and get involved in that. Ain't that fun? Isn't that a good spirit to have? I want to see where God is working and go get involved with that. And you can do that in the microcosm of a church even. You can say, well, I want to go there because I see God working in that area. Like our prayer team, my goodness, everybody wants to be in there because they see miracles happen and people move and things are happening, things are going. I think our church is growing because of it. So people want to be like, I want part of that. Find where God is working and go get involved in that. If that's here, we would love to have you. We really would. 7 years. I hope it goes on and on and on and on. I hope if I kick over tomorrow that it just goes on and on and on and on. Not for my legacy, but for the vision to keep moving. Keep moving. So that people can be changed to find a relationship with God, to get free from their past, to get purpose in their life, so they can make a difference. You know why impact is so important? It's because when people are making a difference in other people's lives, they're not going to change anything about that. They're not. Some of you don't like the job you're in because you don't think you're making a difference in somebody else's life. Some of you don't like the school you're going to because you don't think it's making a difference to anything. Listen, when you put Jesus in the center of everything that's about you, your life is going to make a whole lot more sense, no matter where you are. No matter where you are. I hope somehow this has encouraged you. And I just simply want to ask you, prayer team, you guys go ahead and come forward. For those of you who are guests, we have prayer team folks that are standing all around this room during this time. And it's an opportunity for you to be able to get up from your seat and go talk to someone and just pour out your heart, or maybe just say, hey, I have something I need to pray about, or whatever that is. I'm going to leave that up to you. and it's, I don't want you to feel forced or coerced or anything, but let's all stand together. You see those folks standing around the room. They love you, and they want to pray with you. And they want you to come with anything that you might have on your heart to be able to offer that up to the Lord. As we worship this, we're going to spend some more time in worship music and playing and all those things. And so just, I want you just to focus on a time of prayer, time of need, whatever it is that you need. By the way, is there anybody here today who would say, I don't believe in Jesus, but I do now? I haven't believed in Jesus, but I do now. Anybody want to raise their hand? Maybe everybody in here is a believer. I don't know. I don't know. We want to offer whatever we can to be a blessing to your life. Man, I just had a thought that would cost you another 30 minutes. I can't do it. God, we love you. We honor you. We praise you. God, I want to pray over those who right now, in this moment, are thinking about getting closer to you. Father, I actually want to pray for those who are not thinking about it. God, if somebody's listening to my voice online or in this room and they're just not thinking about anything, God, I want you to stop their thoughts and their tracks right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Put up a roadblock that's blocking them out from being able to see what they need to be doing, Lord. Right now, open their heart and help them to take a step of faith in this moment, in this time. God, I know you have the power to do that. We know you don't condemn. We know you don't beat people down. You simply go and you convict and you change and you motivate for people to be closer and closer to Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, do what you do. Father, we ask that you fill this place with your Spirit. Fill every heart with your Spirit. Help it to be real to all of us that he is in our heart, that he is there, that he's living in us. And gives us the ability to be able to do that we do. We love you, Lord.
Thank you.
That song says that He will always be holy forever. And whether we believe that or don't believe that, that doesn't change the fact that that's true. It doesn't take that I have to say something or not say something to make God who He is. God is who He is. He is holy. And He wants you to be in Him, in relationship, living that life with Him. It's a life-giving place. I used to be afraid of it because I was afraid God's going to take everything I liked away from me. Not only did He not do that, He gave me more things that I didn't even know I liked to replace all those things that I thought I liked that I really didn't like at all. So amazing how He turns things upside down like that in our life and makes things better than it ought to be. I want to promise you something. If you come to Jesus, your life will not be smooth all the time. It will not be like the religious Jesus. If you come to Jesus, they say he'll make everything okay and everything will be all right. No. But I promise you, when you come to Him, that whatever you go through, He will be with you and will walk through it with you. That's the promise that He gives us. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. I can't wait till the end of the earth. Y'all ready? Oh, well, okay. Like that reaction. Some of you thought I had a bus out front, right? Ready to go. He's like, I don't know about that. I got stuff to do this afternoon, you know. When my kids were little, Danielle used to say, Daddy, don't say that. I want to grow up and get married and have kids. And we get so wrapped up in this world, don't we? I got a feeling that when He comes, it's going to be so good, we're going to say, why in the world have I not been looking for this all along? Wow. Man, what a blessing it is to have you today. I just want to say, if you're a guest with us, please, if you'll take one of those connection cards out of the chair in front of you or behind you or around you, take one of those pens, fill that out. We'd love to connect with you. If you'll drop those in those black boxes at the back door as you go out, we would appreciate that. And also, as we leave, many of you have already given your tithe online. You've given electronically or however, but if you have not done that, we would invite all of our partners to give as you go out. Please put your gifts in the boxes on the wall as you go out, or you can give online as well. I love you guys, man. I love this church. Can't wait. Y'all ready for 7 more, 14 more, 1,000 more, whatever. Whatever the Lord has ahead of us, it's going to be good. Can I pray you out today? We don't do this often, but I just want to pray you out today. Father, I love you, I honor you, and I pray over this group of people that in this moment in time, you will lift, you be lifted high, that you will let us know we're somebody in you and nobody without you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, God, for the holiness that we have in us, that you've given us because we're justified by you through what Christ did. And I pray again, if anybody in this room is struggling with that, that they'll make it known before they leave here today. We love you and honor you. Fill us with your Spirit as we leave to go into the world to do your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday.